Chris Martin. And it was Kaylee Carr's choice this morning. I go for another Coldplay track. Wonderful. Partly because, Matthew, you didn't actually have anybody who... actually. Well, you had a wonderful character. His name was Elliot...
Elliot Smith.
Elliot Smith. Sadly passed away, but we don't have any Elliot Smith with us. We will get that sorted out, I'm sure, before too long.
I think.
Exciting times continue. I mean, I know next week is the official National Baking Week, but if you want to actually show off your baking skills and also enjoy the best ingredients and see, as I'm looking at a website now which has got geese on at present, and now it's converted to all sorts of other exciting agricultural matters, Radio York there. Yes, other radio stations are available apart from Southside Broadcasting and Siren FM. It's phenomenal. It's truly successful. We are genuinely delighted to be able to speak now to the press office extraordinaire for the Yorkshire Agricultural Society and to talk a little bit about Countryside Live. That would be the fabulous Judy Thompson. Good morning, Judy. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Morning, Alex.
Good as ever to connect with your good self. And as I say, I think you deserve to increase your salary automatically with respect to doing this slot, which normally falls under the purview of Nigel or Bill, who, for perfectly understandable reasons, neither of them could actually make it today. I think one or other of them will hopefully be joining us on the breakfast show next Thursday, on the eve, of course, of Countryside Live. I always feel, Judy, that this is something that we kind of bonded with, because Southside Broadcasting's coverage of the Great Yorkshire Show, of course, and work, etc., has kind of been going for about 9 or 10 years in various ways, which was, of course, just when Countryside Live was starting.
Yes, you're absolutely right. This will be our 11th Countryside Live. Yep. Doesn't time fly?
It's phenomenal. You know, it's. I mean, Kaylee would have been, actually, you would have been in your 11 then, wouldn't you?
I would, 10. Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. And Matthew, you'd have been 6.
Yeah, probably.
Or 7.
Yeah, something like that.
It's strange how people grow old, Judy, or as I like to say, we become more experientially enhanced.
Let's move on from this.
Precisely. As ever, I mean, we know this by the response that we've had to our competition in terms of the Countryside Live tickets for family packages and so on. There's lots of exciting things happening here, and it's almost become, you know, the must attend event, certainly in terms of Northern England, for fans of the outdoors.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's just grown phenomenally in popularity, and call it the little sister of the Great Yorkshire Show, and you know, that's exactly what it is, really.
A few weeks ago, of course, we had the Stokesley show that was sort of wrapped up. Matthew, you said you've been to the Stokesley show fairly regularly. Have you ever been to Harrogate, to the Great Yorkshire Showground?
I've been to Harrogate, but I haven't been to the Great.
That is an unbelievable admission, Judy. You know, I mean, I'm just.
I know. Yeah. Who would think it?
Exactly. You
I'm
know?
So sorry,
Kaylee.
No, I haven't either.
But there is a possibility this time round you'll be
hopefully
joining us as part of the reporting team on the Sunday.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Very good.
Well, that's good. Well, hopefully we'll have plenty to interest you, Kaylee.
So share with us, Judy, what exciting things are there. I mean, obviously we've got the website, which is countrysidelive.co.uk. You can find out lots of things there. But Judy, from your own perspective, what magical things are actually taking place?
Well, we sort of have the traditional attractions, and I always think the heart of our Countryside Live, as with the Great Yorkshire, are the animals. And obviously we've got the classes for the cattle and the sheep. And we've also got the fun one man and his pig competition once again. That is, I think you've actually seen it, haven't you, Alex?
It is phenomenal.
It is great fun.
It has to be seen to be believed.
Yes.
Much as obviously Nobby the dancing sheep actually sort of presents a whole range of activities with Richard, I believe, who sort of, you know, until you actually see what sheep can dance when they are being sheared or even when they're not being sheared, it's quite phenomenal.
Yes, I mean, the sheep show is always attracts the crowd. I mean, it's great entertainment. We sort of describe it as a fun fashion show for sheep because, as you rightly say, you know, they pop up onto the podium, they do a twirl, and Richard chats about the different breeds and what their uses are. You know, some their wool is good for carpets, some their wool is good for clothing. It, you know, it all varies.
And of course, if you can't stand sheep or you're not into pigs, why not try chainsaw carving? You know, genius.
Yes,
fantastic.
Well, that's a new thing for us this year.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't try it at home. That's the only sort of caveat I would say on a regular basis. If you have a chainsaw and you fancy doing your sculpting, fine, but try and keep them separate. You know,
absolutely. I think the starting point has to be all the protective gear. But Mark Bell, who's with us for the first time, will be creating some amazing things. He popped into the showground to see us last week and bought the most amazing carved hawk. You know, as you say, it has to see, to be seen, to be believed, really.
Well, I must admit, I did like the cutting-edge news aspect that you actually put on. That's fantastic there. Gardening, of course. We were the last at the Yorkshire Harrogate Showground, of course, for the North of England Horticultural Society's Autumn Flower Show event, and that was a fantastic success. Obviously, yeah, that's one of those things where you can attend, Judy, but you don't have to worry about it because it's actually looked after by your counterpart, Camilla Thompson, who does wonderful things on that sort of basis. But in terms of the fast facts for the agricultural show, which I thought was a fascinating little insight that we've actually got, just work through some of these key things very quickly.
You're not going to quiz me on them. It's a while since.
Judy, when was have you no faith, my girl? As you rightly said, it's the 11th Countryside Live. Looking at the competitive entries, we have 3,184 entries,
yes.
With classes for cattle and sheep, equine, pigeons, poultry, honey, and of course, as you mentioned, we've got the chainsaw carving competitions. I'm just going to have to sort
but
of just quite
a demonstration, Alex, than a competition.
Yeah, thank you. It's quite exactly. It's nicely sorted out on that particular basis there. We have the carriage driving competitions that are actually there. And for me, something I'm particularly looking forward to, the tail wagger dog team.
Oh, yes. They're with us again for the first time. I've not seen them, so I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, we're still obviously basking in the glory of the fantastic cheque for £40 that our Southside Terrier team received for actually winning some of the stuff in the summer with Toffee and, of course, a whole range of the Southside Terriers there. I mean, as you can tell, Judy, we were duly proud of the canines for that, which was excellent stuff. And finally, just sort of wrapping up the sequence, we've also got a search for Britain's top show jumper. We've got Have a Go Archery. So if you're disappointed that it's not a competition for chainsaw, it's all right. Have a go at the archery. It's a lot safer, but still as exciting. Ferret racing, birds of prey displays, and of course the sheepdog demonstrations. Kayleigh, what do you make of that list of activities and events?
I think it sounds really good, and I hope I can actually go along to it this time.
Here we are, you see. So, and Matthew, does that sort of whet your appetite?
Well, I've obviously never been before, but I'd definitely consider going down.
I mean,
one man and his pig sounds fascinating.
One man and his pig and mountain banking, Judy. It's phenomenal.
But not together.
No.
We don't have the pigs mountain biking. We perhaps should make that clear.
Well, that is a shame.
It's a thought, but it would lead to carnage. So, we just have to work through that. Judy, it's been fabulous just touching base with the good stuff. Many thanks for joining us this morning and stepping into the breach perfectly, wonderfully, as you do. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us here on Southside Broadcasting?
Say again? Sorry,
have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today on Southside Broadcasting?
Yes, absolutely.
Good. So can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again? We'll probably actually meet up with your good self during Countryside Live and sort of do a piece with you there. I know we've got...
Yes, the gates open at 9 o'clock next Saturday morning, but I know you're usually there bright and early anyway.
Well, this is true. And actually, you mentioned two very important points there. First of all, I mean, the people say, yes, this is all very well. How do we get tickets for Countryside Live?
Well, today is actually the last day that you can ring up and get tickets at the advance rate. Mm. Which is, they're slightly cheaper.
Yep.
But there are tickets available on the gate, so for adults, children, and there is a family ticket. Mm. So if you're wanting to pay that little bit less, which, you know, appeals to us all, I think, then you can ring the office, and that's on 01423 541000, and we'll sort some tickets out for you. Otherwise, they're available on the gate.
Indeed, and congratulations to the Joy family and to the Doddington family and to the Wells household, who actually sort of did extraordinarily well in terms of getting in all the details and correctly sort of identifying that, of course, Countryside Live is the sister to the Great Yorkshire Show in terms of shows that actually event there. It's a difficult competition, a sort of deal breaker there. I still like the one we ran a few years ago, Judy, which was, you know, the show director of Countryside Live. Is it A, Bill Shatner? Is it B, Bill Baggins? Or is it C, Bill Cowling? I thought, you know, some people had Bill Shatner down, you know, they thought he was there, you know.
Well,
really thought,
I think that's possibly better than Bill Baggins.
Well, you never know. Anyway, Judy, I take it you will return.
We will, yes, absolutely, Alex.
Deacon Blue Dignity. And that's what we have here at Southside Broadcasting. If nothing else, keep your dignity. Coming up, Alan Stevens will be talking about his latest fantastic web series, which we're going to have a little excerpt from now. Now, we refer to this as Radio B. This is, as you'll be perfectly sort of able to sort of make the connection with when we hear the opening line to this. But we'll refer to it as Radio B. So hopefully you won't take offence with that. It's a little precursor in terms of that. I mean, it's not a banned word, but, you know, it's interesting, which Kaylee does actually relate to a radio station that Alan himself spent time as a work placementee at, really. This is where he got a lot of the ideas for this particular series of episodes. So there's a whole range of top actors that are actually involved with this, including Peter Miles and Alistair Locke and a whole heap of others, written by Alan Stevens, Fiona Moore, and, well, shall we hear it?
Yeah.
Radio Bastard, serving the town of Little Bastard on the Prowl and surrounding countryside. Brought to you today by Ahmed Al Fayoum's Kebab Supplies and Self-Assembly Barbecue Shop. When you think kebabs and self-assembly barbecues, think Ahmed Al Fayoum. And now, John McRae with topical discussions of the day.
Topical discussions of the day with John McRae.
Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome to topical discussions of the day. Our question for today is, God, what is he good for? With special guests Davis Preston, science teacher at the Ayn Rand Memorial Comprehensive School, and the Reverend Ocelot, vicar of the St. Olaf II of Norway Church of England on the London Road, and presenter of Radio Bastard's Sunday night programme, Pause for Thought. Mr. Preston, Reverend Ocelot, hello.
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 So, God, what is he good for? Davis, what do you think?
Well, I don't see that God comes into the equation at all. I teach science. Science means that you conduct experiments by controlling or adjusting for certain variables. Now, you can't control for God. Therefore, God has no place in my classroom, or indeed our understanding of the natural world.
That's an interesting perspective. Reverend Ocelot, do you have a reply?
Yes, sir. Davis is, he's perfectly right. There's no evidence of God in science. But that's not to say God has no place in the classroom. The Bible has many valuable lessons to teach the young people of today about being kind to your elders and doing good to people and respecting laws on property and vandalism.
Doesn't seem to be doing much good, though, does it? Didn't somebody smash all the windows in St. Olaf's just last week?
Yes. And the police would be very grateful for any information regarding young persons believed to have been armed with air rifles and catapults in the vicinity on Tuesday evening, between 7 and 12 p.m. But that's what I'm talking about. The youth of today are lacking in moral guidance, and they need the church to help them grow up as strong, supportive members of the community.
So yes, what is...
Well, possibly they could. Little sample there from episode 2 of the aforementioned Radio B. I think we know why it was there, why it was called, and all the rest of the bits and pieces. But, oh, so he's bursting in already there, without so much as a by your leave.
It's
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's hold it for the moment, you know, controlled aggression.
Okay, that's
the key thing. We've also, of course, got Matthew Smith in the studio. That's the Matt Smith, of course, not the other actor type Matt Smith. It's the very own Southside's Matt Smith, which is important. I don't think I've actually met Alan Stevens before in terms of that. Kaylee Carr's with us as well. Matt, when we were playing that particular piece, you said that's a dreadful jingle. So I don't, it is supposed to be a comedy.
Yeah.
So when you're doing
it. I got that after a while. It's like, oh, God.
It's just one note just played on the same thing. Yeah. So I hope you're not going to do some of the jingles for Southside Broadcasting.
Thankfully not.
No, exactly. It's just that. Anyway, Kaylee, it's time to introduce the creator, one of the fine creators of Magic Bullet Productions and, indeed, Radio B. Who might that be, Kaylee Carr? Yeah, I know. Shocked. If I said his surname is Stevens and his first name is Alan, does that actually help?
Okay.
Yeah, so it is...
Alan Stevens.
Hey. Yeah, you see, tease them, keep them wanting more. That's the way to do it, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, we're now actually up into episode 4, I see, because since we talked when it will launch this whole Radio B series, a comedy in 15 parts, directed by yourself and, of course, Alistair Locke, produced and edited by yourself, etc. What's the feedback been so far?
Good. In fact, we decided this week's episode, a few years back, a group called Radiohead released their album on the internet and said you can pay what you want for it.
Yes.
So of course I didn't pay anything for it and downloaded it for free. I
shelled out my 72 pence for episode 2 morning.
It's not much, is it? 72p. I mean, goodness sake.
Well, let's just test it.
One you can pay between, well, anything you like. You could pay £5, you could pay £100, you could pay £1,000, or you could pay 1p. But if you do, you get the main episode and also a bonus feature, which is about 5 minutes long. So what
do you think, Matthew? Is that a fair sort of exchange in terms of audio material on the web?
Kind of. I mean, it's for general tracks and things you're buying. It's going to be anywhere between £17 and £1.
Exactly. Yes. So, Kayleigh, what do you think? I mean, allowing for that, of course, given that you're doing a work placement with Indeed Southside Broadcasting, I think it's worthwhile finding out from Alan why he's kind of based this, although it's a comedy, but it's based on his own experiences.
I don't know.
I'll give you a for instance, Alan Stevens. Kayleigh goes to a university which shall remain nameless at this moment in time.
Yes.
But they were actually informed, Kayleigh, that today is a day where technically there's work that's taking place at the university, although if you are on work placement, you're actually allowed to go to the work placement.
Yeah. Oh, is she on work placement now?
Yeah.
Well, we hope that because they are supposed to be calling us just to check she's actually here.
Just to check I'm not in bed.
Yeah. Well, you said
it,
you're still in bed.
Harsh, and not even fair on that line. Goodness me, you're going for the William Sitwell approach for that sort of money.
That woke her up.
But this was when you were doing a work placement at a station in Gloucestershire, is that correct?
That's right, yeah. It was, I can't really say the name of it.
No, I know, exactly, yeah. And it wasn't Radio Bastard. Oh, we said it again, okay, it was Radio B, carry on.
I'm not even sure if it's still going there. It was, what happened was I was going to Strad College and doing a course in radio, you know, program making, and they sent me on this 5-day work experience at this company, and it was pretty horrendous actually, and I didn't have a very nice time, but I wrote up a report on it, which I think I might have sent to you years later. Did I, Alex?
You did, yes.
Yeah, and it sort of went through what was going on. Anyway, what happened was that this radio station had actually made a formal complaint about me. And as I came back on the Monday, I remember my lecturer walking by and looking at me and looking terrified. I thought, oh dear, what's happened? But luckily, I'd submitted my report that same day, and they read it. And the guy came in, and instead of, you know, throwing me out of the college, they actually apologized to me. So,
I'm not putting
it. I'm
not putting in a complaint there, but it's just the sort of tension that actually could occur between, you know, placement provider, placementee, original things. It could be all sorts of challenges here.
But anyway, I then years later, I found the report again and read through it and thought, actually, this could make a very good radio station. So I changed a few names. Well, I changed the names. And in fact, in the performances, some of the characters have changed. There was a guy called Ball, both at the station and in the play, but his first name's been changed. And to be honest, the performance that Alistair gives is nothing really like the original Ball, who was obsessed with demarcation, as you know, I can press this button, you can't press this button, and also retaining information. You know, you'd say, well, how did you do this or whatever, and he just wouldn't tell you, or he was just petty like that. But
that's for me and the machine to know, young Alan, he would have
said.
That's for me and the machine to know, young Alan.
Yeah, well, one example, for example, was that I had to go off and do a series of, you know, interviews. I wanted to ghost stores or whatever, and I went off and got a lot of ghost stores and various things and brought them back. And I had to physically edit it, and I offered, you know, it was a lot of stuff to do, and I offered to stay behind and do it. And he said, no, I go at whatever, you know, and everyone else has got to go, and so we couldn't do that. And there was a various, what he would do, they didn't quite know how to use a computer then. It was just sort of like destructive editing. And so they'd record a ghost, they'd destructively edit the ghost stories, and then they would put them on computer. And I kept trying to say to him, you know, well, what are you, how are you going to play these? How are you going to play these? And he wouldn't tell me. And eventually he sort of like smugged my thing on computer, you see. And I sort of said, I wish you'd told me that, because I know how to edit on computer, and if you'd put them all on computer, I could have done it a lot quicker.
I'll give you a little for instance. Matthew has been given a challenge of actually listening to some of our podcasts, catching things up there, and eventually Matthew producing some idents and jingles for it. How do you think it's going, Matthew, in terms of, because I mean, you're just starting what could be a year's long worth play, but it could be a lifetime. Who knows? Exactly. So, you know, how's it going from your point of view? Do you feel as though, you know, we've given you a fair sort of experience of aspects of community broadcasting here?
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, come on, tell the truth.
it is generally good. Genuinely. Not generally, genuinely good.
Oh, genuinely.
Yeah. It is extremely fun, and I get to sit at home and sit at my piano and play.
Listen
to Southside Broadcasting, and then I'll just mess around with all of their things and write some of my own new jingles, and then like make up some cheesy call
Kayleigh needs her own jingle, of course, actually.
Yeah, I've actually been writing something for Kayleigh. you don't know.
Wake up, little Kayleigh.
Really wake up.
Oh, well, within the next, like, week or two, you might have something.
Here we are.
So good.
Well, Robert Berenger Locke and Alistair Locke did work together on many jingles and stuff. We were trying to be as corny and as appalling as we could. And I remember Fiona was, when he first sent the raw jingles and she heard them, and that day she went out in the car and was listening to a local radio station, or perhaps it was even BBC Radio 1, actually. And they had jingles on there, and she went, my goodness, I thought I was actually listening to Radio Bastard then, because the jingles were just the same. You know, it's kind of like cheesy, slightly off.
The message is there, welcome to Little Bastard on the Prowl. Yeah.
So really, a message to our chum there is that if he wants to get on in the radio industry, he has to actually, you know, downgrade his game.
Sad but true. We don't take dumbing down in this particular instance. Now, you recorded, obviously, this at the Medway Studios and Brighton Acoustic Studios.
That's right, yeah.
I'm often sort of thinking, is it more complex when you're using recordings over two or three different studios, like Siren and Southside, or is it a case of, no, it all works? I mean, they're pretty much of a muchness, really.
No, it is. Well, what happened was that there are certain people who are available on certain days and not on others, and so Paul Darrow, who appears in episode 3, and Trevor Cooper, who I think appears in episode 7 or 8, they were all doing the other play I was doing, and I got them to record these extra bits to put in.
I seem to recall time, Alan, where we had to use our ISDN facilities to actually enable Paul to actually simply insert a piece.
We did, in fact. In fact, next time, the next episode you download for the next time you interview me, that will be on there.
Hey.
I should have said thanks, Alex.
I would have thought an honorary cameo mention at least.
Yeah, I know.
And again, you didn't mention me in the Battlestar Galactica by your command thing. Why, I don't know.
Well, you're mentioning a new one.
Oh, well, there we are. Any questions for Alan from yourself, Matthew, from a budding audio engineer to a master of the art of radio production and drama?
Actually, surprisingly not. I've just been sat here, fascinated, just listening later, all of the really good stuff we've been talking about.
Kayleigh's just basically shaking her head in a way that says, please don't ask if I've got any questions. I can barely ask him if he's had a reasonably interesting telephonic conversation.
I still can't exactly.
You can, Kayleigh, and you will, I'm sure. That's the important thing.
Just pull a duvet over your head, Kayleigh.
I know.
And relay all the telephone calls from your tutors to another place at another time. Anyway, food historian and journalist Xantha Clay will hopefully be with us shortly. She produces the Reader's Recipe column for the Telegraph Weekend magazine. And, of course, it is National Baking Week from the 14th of October onwards. Interestingly enough, Marks & Spencer's have reported sales increases of up to 20% in baking ingredients. John Lewis customers are buying cake tins and muffin trins of it. Muffin trays have actually increased. Muffing, exactly, yeah, please. Don't
muffin
get me.
Tops of it.
Please, this is true. They've increased by 15%, and pastry sales at Waitrose also rose 24%.
It's like listening to some sort of, like, you know, Stalinist communist broadcast.
It is.
15% on tractor production.
Yeah, I think it's right. Kayleigh, are you a baker person? Do you bake? Because students in baking, they kind of have become quite popular these days.
I know, yeah, I don't really do much of it. I used to do it when I was, like, a few years ago with me nana. On the odd weekends, but no, not now.
So not a sort of challenge of baking?
No.
Matthew, do you do baking and things?
I'm trying to get into more like cooking and baking and things, but otherwise I used to just lick out all the icing and stuff that when my mum used to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The healthy setups from that point of view.
I still do that now.
Apparently, the increase in the number of men taking up baking has always, or has been dubbed, the Hollywood effect. Nothing to do with the Los Angeles scenario, but it's all down to Paul Hollywood, of course. And his,
That's true, actually. Many years ago, back in the 40s, I think it was, what was the guy called who was in, well-known and respected actor or admired actor appeared on screen, not wearing a vest, and suddenly vests, you know, no one was buying vests anymore. No,
until Bruce Willis started, of course.
Sorry?
Until Bruce Willis started.
No, it wasn't, yeah, I mean, that's probably he had some sort of economic thing going there. Yeah. They probably thought they need more people, need sell more vests.
Wear a vest, Bruce, for goodness sake.
Get Bruce Willis in a wife beater.
Mm. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning, Alan Stevens?
You've forgotten Doctor Who.
Thank you very much. This is a very good, very nice thing. It's just as well we have a few moments to act together, because I was just about to go in terms of how do you get hold of Radio B, Radio Bastard. Go to
CaldorCity.com.
Exactly. And all the magic is actually there. Kayleigh, has it impacted at all on you, the fact that a number of episodes of Patrick Troughton's Doctor Who era have been found in Nigeria? That were previously believed wiped by the BBC and believed to be missing forever.
I suppose, in a way.
Why?
Matthew?
To be honest, any form of Doctor Who is absolutely brilliant towards me, so if they're finding Patrick Troughton, then that is in the good books with me.
Well, Alan Stevens, share with us more on this exciting news and your own feelings when these things which the BBC had obviously in their infinite wisdom decided to actually wipe completely from the original recordings have now been discovered and probably will be available in the near future.
Well, they are available now. You can actually go to iTunes and download both stories for £10 each.
There we go. You see, that's Enemy of the World.
Enemy of the World, Patrick Troughton's story, 1967.
And The Web of Fear.
And The Web of Fear, same season, season 5. In fact, I think it's a previous story, too. So The Web of Fear, and then it was Enemy of the World, wasn't it? Or was it? Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, it was Web of Fear, Enemy of the World. So the last two stories of series 5. We already had episode 1 of Web of Fear, and we also already had, I think it's episode 3 of... what was the story called?
Enemy of the World.
Enemy of the World. So to have them, you know, it's great. I mean, the thing is that being a Doctor Who fan, I know about these stories, and I've seen the telly snaps from these stories, and I've read the target novelizations of these stories. I've known the existence of the Web of Fear since 1975, when I bought sort of the Doctor Who Monster book when I was about 8. So, you know, it's kind of like part of, you know, my history, as it were. So to actually go and see the real thing, that's going to be very thrilling. We're going to get some popcorn and some beer and sit there and watch.
And Matthew, what are your feelings? Because, I mean, obviously you were not born when this was taking place. I mean, you're very much of the Christopher Eccleston. And how did you get into Doctor Who?
Originally, my dad watched like Doctor Who through the times, and then he stopped watching it at some point. But then he started watching it back at Tom Baker and introduced me to Genesis of the Daleks. And since then... absolute brilliant show. I loved it.
Because I was actually asked by a couple of Whovians. Actually, no, there were four Whovians.
No, that's an American term.
Quartet of Whovians. I'm using
don't
it in any
Whovian.
Case. Well, anyway, they're doing a special show on our sister station, Siren FM, to talk about Doctor Who. And they asked me a number of interesting questions, such as who is my favourite companion, to which I immediately said, Mary Tam.
Really?
Romana Duratralunda, followed probably by Freema Agyeman, and then followed by Karen Gillan. There we are, in terms of the notions there. Favourite episode, or which episode would I actually use to introduce somebody? And I actually said Genesis of the Daleks would be my choice of introductory episode to really kind of get the best of the Who thing out. Followed in terms of the new era by Father's Day, which excited one of the interviewers very much, because their favourite monster was, in fact, the monsters from Father's Day, etc. So there we are, Christopher Eccleston's book. That's just a by-the-by, Alan. I might change my mood completely if I'm asked again tomorrow, but there we are.
Wow. Yeah? Wow, what can you say about that? Freema Agyeman, I thought she was a bit of a plank of wood, wouldn't she, really?
Oh, she coat well for
her. Splinters in the eyes just watching her.
Oh, there we are. Oof, never mind. Harsh. And, of course, Annika Will should be up there in every sense of the word.
Well, isn't she a fairly regular contributor to you?
Yeah, so exactly, yes. So Graham Harper and the rest of the thing. In fact, you're quite right. We need to get Annika back on the show again. I noticed Fraser Hines was doing stuff for BBC National Radio this morning.
Well, he's been interviewed a bit. And Debbie Watling as well, hasn't he?
Yes, that's right. How do you actually sort of solve a monster if you're Debbie Watling or indeed Kayleigh Carr? You scream at it.
Ah! That's a monster screaming,
exactly. Yeah.
killed the weed creature in the Fury from Deep.
Yeah. If you ever, when your time in Teesside, Kaylee, come across weed creatures, just scream, they'll go away.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't like that.
So I think we managed to bring us nicely round to Kaylee being able to quite rightly ask you those last two questions. Go, Kaylee, go.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us here at Southside today?
Yes, it was very interesting.
And
it was delivered in a wonderful, almost Dennis Gore-esque way of doing it. Marvellous.
And are you going to connect again with us in the near future?
Well, I hope so, because we've got a few more episodes that Alex has got to go through just to get up to speed, haven't
we? Listen, start of the academic year. Does Fiona not tell you about the sort of fun things we as academics get involved with? I mean, I realise Royal Holloway is a different animal to the University of Lincoln, but there we are.
No, yeah, it is a bit hectic, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, here's Belinda. We dream the